Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. I want to thank you for taking time to tune into today's The Oasis podcast. And we've been in a series on heaven. Heaven is a real place. And each episode builds. And I really believe that there is an impartation that the Lord is imparting into our hearts as we take time to listen to His Word and begin to stir our faith up to walk in these things. Now, Jesus declared, He says, as it is in heaven, let it be on the earth. And so the Lord wants us to live with an upward desire, an upward focus. Lift up your heads on high, from whence comes your redemption. And of course, Colossians chapter 3, if you be risen with Christ, then what? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, where He is in His authority. And so we're commanded, not just commanded in just a kind of a, you know, just a, you know, sterile sense, but it's a love command. Hey, I've got something up here for you, and I want you to begin to press into heaven, press into what I have for you, because it's going to change your life, and it's going to change the lives of other people. Now, let me open in a word of prayer, and let's get into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for the message on heaven. We desire our Savior, who is from heaven, and we thank you that heaven is your throne, and the earth is your footstool. And we're taking time to look up into not just the heavens above where the planets are, but by faith to begin to focus with a boldness coming into the most holy place. And Lord, even as we're praying right now, I just pray for my friend that, Lord, you would impart into them an understanding that by faith, with boldness, when we come into that place of prayer, that we're before the throne of God, where the blood of Jesus is, and where the angels, 100 million, and millions of angels, who are declaring worship and praise to Almighty God. And Father, a place where your throne looks like a sapphire, the rainbow over your throne, full of the power, the majesty, the thunders, the lightnings, and the voices, that rainbow looks like an emerald. And out of you, Lord, comes light and fire, oh, and voices. Lord, we just set our heart and our attention on things above right now. So, Father, as we go into this, we just believe for an impartation in us in order to be the sons and daughters of the Almighty God. We thank you for the blood of Jesus right now that covers us as we go into this. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Amen. Now, I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to step aside here. We usually start with verse 1, but we're going to kind of go down here. And the Bible says in verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphim unto me." Now, these seraphim, we talked about the book of Revelation and here in Isaiah, these living creatures that are the closest to the throne of God, and they have six wings, two of them, they cover their face, two, they cover their feet, and with two, they fly. And, I'm telling you, this is amazing. And as you study about these angels, and maybe we'll get into the cherubim later, the cherubim are similar, but they are different. They have a different operational status. The seraphim are right there at the throne of God, above the throne in all that glory and majesty, declaring the holiness of God. The cherubim, they're different. And I the only way I can describe them is they only have four wings, and they have, you know, four faces, and they move with the glory of God. There in the Garden of Eden, when man and Adam and Eve were kicked out, it was a cherubim with a flaming sword you know, that was guarding the way. Now, these cherubim, they move like fire and like lightning. Very interesting living creatures here. And they have like wheels within wheels that's underneath them. And you say, well, what does that mean? I have no idea. There are things in the Bible, you just accept what the Bible says. And then when we are standing with the Lord, He's going to explain it all to us. And we're going to be just so amazed. And, oh, it's going to be amazing. But the cherubim, they're different. And they're going to be, they're very interesting. And of course, when you go into the book of Ezekiel, you see the cherubim. They come out of the realm of glory, and they're going to remove the glory of God from the temple. Well, because judgment was coming, Nebuchadnezzar was coming, and God said, Nebuchadnezzar is my servant. And so he was sending his servant to bring a judgment upon Judea, Jerusalem, the Jewish people. And so these cherubim, their operation is to remove the glory of God off of the temple, off of Jerusalem. Why? Because judgment's coming. And you know, and I don't know, I'm speculating, I'm just in a Holy Spirit kind of speculation right now. But I wonder if the rapture of the church is going to be very similar, because the tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, it's called the wrath of God. It's the great tribulation. And I'm wondering if somehow in this operation of God's glory that the cherubim aren't involved in removing us from the earth back into heaven in a twinkling of an eye, where we're changed. And so you want to make sure you're ready, living with a hunger for the Lord's presence and living pleasing to Him, because these things are real. Heaven operates on a different realm than the earth. In heaven, we talked about it, there are words that are being spoken. It's not lawful for men to speak. Now, that's power and glory. You're talking about the Bible begins with God speaking words and creation happens. He puts the stars into the sky and the universe is expanding at the speed of light. Those are some very powerful words. But when we talk about words being spoken that men can't speak, that kind of humbles you. And, you know, it should humble you. Now, here, so we're talking about Isaiah chapter 6 and the seraphim. So a seraphim comes with tongs from off the altar. He takes a coal. Now, I don't know how he puts the coal in his hand. But he doesn't reach in and take the coal. There are tongs at the altar. They're made of gold. And they don't melt. That's another thing. He reaches in and he takes hold of a coal. And then once he takes the coal out from the altar, he takes hold of it and he flies and he cleanses Isaiah. He laid it upon his mouth and said, lo, this has touched your lips. So we're dealing with words again. Now, I want you to think about that. There are words being spoken in heaven that a man can't speak. And here's Isaiah. He's having this experience with God. And the coal comes and wham, right into his mouth. You're cleansed. And maybe our you know, as we get into this more and more, maybe our prayer ought to be, Lord, maybe I need a coal from your altar put into my mouth. Not just to serve you better, Lord, but to keep my mouth from speaking stupid things. And we all do it. We're all human. And we always, you know, have to keep a check on what we say. And sometimes we say wrong things and we repent for it. We say, Lord, I said something really bad, didn't I? Yes, you did. And I need to repent. And it's not always dirty words or cuss words. That's not always. Sometimes you speak something about your brother or your sister or your pastor, especially your pastor, right? And it was wrong. The Holy Spirit was like, I didn't agree with that. You shouldn't have said that. Ooh, Lord, will you forgive me? I was wrong. And sometimes we see things in our brothers and sisters that they're wrong. But it doesn't mean we're allowed to speak about their weaknesses the way we want to speak about them. There should be some humility and fear of God in us when we talk about our brothers and our sisters. And that's probably the area of the church that we sin the most in, is how confident we feel in just speaking about our brothers and sisters in the Lord like they're nothing. They are something. They have the glory of God in them. They've put their faith in Jesus. They've repented of their sin. They have a testimony. And we need to approach these things very carefully. And so, you know, here is Isaiah. He's getting his mouth burned with this holy coal. But let me come back here to the altar. There is an altar in heaven. It's before the throne of God. And so now let's go over to the book of Revelation, and let's go to the Revelation chapter 8. Let's take a look at the altar again. Now, in this chapter, obviously, the inhabitants of the earth are in a tribulation. The book of Revelation is kind of from God's throne, watching what God is doing, the Father, the King, right, interacting with the inhabitants of the earth. Now, in chapter 8, verse 3, the Bible says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar." So there's an altar. Now, just kind of slow down and think about that. There is an altar in heaven. And that altar has a whole lot to do with your life, with my life. So allow that to just kind of sink in. There's an altar in heaven. Now, in this passage, it says this. "So the angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer." So there are golden censers. So Isaiah said there were tongs, right? Here's a golden censer. "And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." So you're seeing, first of all, priesthood angels. Angels that are working specifically at the altar. Now, in the book of Isaiah, King Uzziah, before he died of leprosy, he went into the holy place. He wanted to do the work of a priest and offer incense. And the priests who were designated to the altar rebuked him. "This is not your calling. This is not your job." So there are positions, roles, assignments that angels have. And here we have an angel who's at the throne, who's at the altar. And we know that there are tongs, there are censers, okay? So let that kind of sink in a little bit here. There is a divine order to the throne of God. "And there was given to him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." Here's the question: have you ever prayed? Yes, I have prayed. Well, the Bible says that our prayers are going up, and they're at the altar, right? There are angels adding incense. "And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Now think about that. Let that encourage your prayer life, because this is here for a reason. Now, obviously, in the sequence in the book of Revelation, this is taking place during the tribulation. But the truth of prayer and how prayer comes up before the throne of God. So you're getting revelation to encourage your own prayer life. Now, in verse 5, "And the angel took the censer, and he filled it with fire of the altar, and he cast it into the earth, and there were voices, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Whew, there's a lot there. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about earthquakes, and that a lot of earthquakes happen not just because the plates on the earth are shifting, but because of the glory and the interaction of heaven, the throne, upon the earth. It causes earthquakes. Remember, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 says that creation, let's say the earth in this case, is groaning. There's a groaning in creation that's waiting for the sons and the daughters of God. And so here's this angel. The saints are praying. He's adding incense that's given to him. So there's another angel. I don't know if it's the Lord himself, but comes and gives incense, right? He adds the incense into the fire of the altar. It goes up. And then at a certain point, as those prayers and the incense come before the Father, oh my goodness. Oh, I'm just, you know, can you just see your prayers coming before the Father? Oh, and the incense, and he's taking it in. I don't know, but does the Lord breathe in our prayers? That's an amazing thought. He's hearing our prayers. He's breathing in our prayers. I don't know, but it's almost like we're his children. And he doesn't just hear our prayers. He's taking them in. They're coming into him with an incense coming from the throne, the altar. And, I mean, you know, when you have your children and they come to you, oh, daddy, daddy. You're not just hearing them. It touches you deeply. You ever hear that the Lord is touched with a feeling of our infirmities? Well, our infirmities cause us to cry. They cause us to cry out to God and to pray. And this feeling, this touching deeply. And so see your prayers coming up to the Father, touching him deeply. He's taking them in. Think about that. Your prayers, they're not just floating in heaven. No. The end place is the Father, because you've come in the name of Jesus and you're using his name. Jesus said in John 16, he said, listen, when you pray, I'm not going to pray for you. Oh, but Jesus, you pray better than I do. Oh, you're missing it. The Father loves you so much. Don't worry about how good I pray. You come and pray. Use my name. Come to the Father. Because you love me, he loves you. And we're learning to trust that love. We're learning to live in that love. So that when we come in the name of Jesus, our prayers are being mixed with the incense. And the Father is taking them in. His prayers. You say, where's my prayer at? It's in his heart. He's heard it. If you ask, he said, it shall be given. If you seek it, you shall find. If you knock, it's going to be opened. Everyone that asks receives. Now that's a prayer answering Father, okay? But let's go on here, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar. So now I want you to think about this. You can't fill a censer with fire, okay? Fire has to burn on something. You just can't have fire without something that's hot. It's those coals. That's what has the fire. You're calling it fire, but actually it's coals that are so hot, and that fire is just burning on them, right? So he fills it up, and then he what? Oh my goodness, are you ready? The throne of God is heaven, right? Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What happens? Man, he dumps this censer full of coals. He just pours it out on the earth. Now, oh, I tell you, get that thought, get that revelation of here's the throne of God. And oh, I tell you what, those angels are saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. and the whole earth is full of the glory, and it does have an effect. It's shaking the earth. The earth is not out of control here, believe me. But then you get this censer with fire, and as he's dumping this out, there's voices, there's thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. What does that mean? I don't really know. I mean, I know what it says, but this is some deep stuff here. And, you know, I can't help but to think John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness. He wasn't changing the multitudes with his voice. Yes, he had to preach, but there was a voice in his voice. And I believe that John the Baptist is a great example of a man with a ministry that a voice came down with a coal of fire, right? And that as he preached, that coal of fire had a voice and it was moving Jerusalem. I want you to think about that. Revivalists that move nations, revivalists that move, like Jerusalem in this case, it's not them, it's a coal of fire with a voice that when they preach what God's given them to preach, there is a move of the glory and the Spirit of God upon the earth. And I tell you, it's we're touching into some wonderful things, some deep things here. Now, we pray. We spend time before the throne of God because God's got things that are heavenly things. And the Holy Spirit receives them from Jesus, and he what makes them known to us, and we take hold of them, right? And we change the world. I shared that about this smile tract. When we moved to Great Britain in 1998, we didn't have the smile tract. And in fact, when I had worked in London many years before, I had a vision at Kensington Temple, and I saw these coals of fire coming up out of London, going to the ends of the earth. And then I knew the Holy Spirit spoke to me about coming to England. Well, years later, I look back and I see all these wonderful yellow smiles that we didn't have when we moved to England. But when we moved to England, something from heaven came down and the Lord gave it to us. And now those smile tracks are going out all over the earth. And people are coming to the Lord. People are praying. It's not us. And no. There's a coal of fire upon the smile tract. And it's exactly what I saw. It's going out, and they're going all out, all over. And it's fulfilling the sower went out to sow. That's what we operate in. And that coal of fire, that voice, is upon the crosswalk and the smile tracks. And it's going out, and people are taking hold. And when they do, they hear the voice of God. And, you know, I always tell people, you know, it doesn't make sense. We go out, a guy with a cross, and let's say Muslims take the tracks. They see the cross, and they're taking the tracks. Well, why is that? They're not hearing Eric Casto. They're hearing the voice of the Lord calling out to them, calling out to people. Why do people get stuck? And all of a sudden, you see hearing ears come upon them. They're hearing the gospel, maybe for the first time, but God is getting their attention. Well, that's what we're talking about here. There are things that come from heaven, and they bring a change into the earth. Heaven is the throne. The earth is the footstool. There are things that heaven has for the earth, and this year, we need to press in, take hold of them by faith, and see what God is going to do in the days that we live in. Hey, listen, that's enough for now. We love you. Remember, Jesus loves you. Go to our website. Go to www.foursmiles.com. There's more information there. You can go to Spotify. You can go to iTunes, and or you can go to iHeartRadio and pick up these podcasts. And sow a seed. Go to our website. There's a way that you can give. Sow a seed of faith into helping us carry the gospel into the nations. What God is doing as the smile tracks are going out in different languages is a blessing. And there's going to be a blessing on you as you sow. Listen, until next time, remember, we love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.